Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm for Friday, April 21st. I am your host, Orlinda Worthington. The Worm is a podcast bringing you news from Montana and the region from Yellowstone Public Radio and Montana Public Radio. Thank you for joining us. Ahead for us today, a Montana state representative blocked from speaking on the House floor. A cyber attack shuts down IT at two Montana universities, and an invitation to celebrate Native American culture and heritage. A bill that would prohibit the abortion of a viable fetus or a fetus that could live outside of the womb passed the House of Representatives Thursday on a vote of 66 to 32. Eleanor Smith of the Legislative News Service reports.
Montanans would still be allowed to have abortions should House Bill 575 be signed into law, but it would essentially ban them after 24 weeks of pregnancy. The bill assumes fetuses are viable after 24 weeks or if there's doubt over its viability. Someone who wants an abortion in the state would need to undergo a determination of viability before any abortion procedure and would only be able to go ahead if the fetus isn't viable or if the mother will die if she doesn't get an abortion. Doctors who ignore the law and provide an abortion to someone who doesn't qualify under the bill could face felony charges. Republican Representative Lola Sheldon Galloway from Great Falls is the sponsor of the bill. She said the bill was strengthened by a Senate amendment that would add the requirement of an ultrasound to determine a fetus's viability.
Should a question ever arise, ultrasounds visually depict the development status and size of the unborn child and routinely indicate on them the estimated gestational age of the unborn child. Such information is a relevant part of the criteria established in House Bill 575 for a viability determination.
Among other reasons, opponents criticized the bill for not including exceptions for rape or incest. Democratic Representative Alice Buckley from Bozeman said requiring women to get an ultrasound, which is oftentimes a transvaginal ultrasound, would hurt the victims more than it could help the fetus.
For victims of assault, for rape, for incest, a transvaginal ultrasound would be incredibly violating.
The bill will now be sent to the governor's desk for a signature or veto.
That was Eleanor Smith reporting with the UM Legislative News Service. A flathead man accused of threatening the life of U.S. Senator John Tester pleaded guilty yesterday. Police arrested Kevin Patrick Smith in February after he was charged with two felony counts of threatening to murder or harm the senator. Smith reportedly made numerous threatening calls to Tester's Kalispell office earlier this year. Smith initially pled not guilty to both counts, but changed his plea in a hearing as part of a plea deal reached with the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Montana. Prosecutors agreed to drop one of the counts and not to prosecute Smith for possessing an unregistered silencer found in his home during the investigation. According to a federal indictment, Smith left voicemails at Tester's office saying he, quote, would love to destroy the senator, unquote. In the hearing Thursday, Smith said the reason behind the threats was due to disagreement with Tester's political decisions. The charge carries a maximum sentence of 10 years imprisonment, a $250,000 fine, and 3 years of supervised release. Smith will remain in federal custody until his sentencing hearing in August. Billings faith leaders and local law enforcement came together Wednesday to talk about hate crimes. United Against Hate Initiative is a nationwide effort by the U.S. Department of Justice to improve reporting and combat hate crimes. Wednesday's gathering was the work of U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Montana. U.S. Attorney Jesse Laslovich says Billings Forum focused on faith communities.
Hate comes in all different forms. This was our first one. We wanted to do in Billings because of it was our biggest city, focused on houses of worship because of what has occurred in Billings recently. That's not to say there are not other forms of hate occurring, so we'll be doing others as well.
Laslovich says hate crimes are underreported nationwide, and these forums are an effort by DOJ to educate the communities on hate crimes, how to report them, and the resources available. The next United Hate Crime event is June 16th in Missoula at the University of Montana School of Law. Montana's two largest universities suffered significant disruptions to their networking and internet services this week. MSU was the target of a large-scale cyber attack yesterday. Shortly after noon, all MSU networking and internet services were shut down to help contain the attack. By last night, experts from MSU Information Technology and law enforcement agencies were able to restore services to the campus as quickly as possible. Campus remains open and all activities and events continued as normal. In-person classes will proceed as scheduled today. All offices will be open and fully staffed. Yellowstone Public Radio is on the campus of Montana State University Billings. Montana Public Radio. Montana Public Radio broadcasts from the campus of the University of Montana. A citizen committee in Cascade County filed a complaint with the state's top political watchdog alleging ethics violations in the county's election office. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy has details.
Montana Commissioner of Political Practices Chris Gallus's office confirmed it received an electronic version of the complaint Monday. In the complaint, the Cascade Election Protection Committee says clerk and recorder Sandra Merchant this week purposefully obstructed the view of election observers and threatened police force against those taking photos of the office. The committee also says the office didn't vet its volunteers, 13 of whom it says signed a 2022 petition asking the county to ban electronic vote counting machines and purge its voter rolls. Committee member Pete Fontana says the group is preparing to take further action beyond the complaint.
We started with the commissioner because that's who the Secretary of State's office told us to do. And the next thing is that we're going to ask the county attorney to look into it.
The election committee formed in early April after Cascade Election Administrator Sandra Merchant cast doubt on the ability of her office to hold upcoming special elections, citing lack of staff and the closure of a local mail sorting business. Separately, the Great Falls Public Library is threatening legal action if Merchant does not give them a detailed plan for its June 6th mail levy. The Cascade Elections website contained no information about the June 6th election at the time of publication. KRTV first reported that some Cascade County residents have received multiple absentee ballots in the mail for the May 2nd school board election. Merchant has not responded to requests for comment and information from multiple media organizations, including MTPR. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amestoy.
A strain of bird flu fatal to poultry and first detected in Montana a year ago has now been confirmed in mammals like grizzly bears and skunks. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche reports on guidance for humans and pets in light of a recent detected case of bird flu in an eastern Montana poultry flock.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the likelihood of transmission to humans is low, and those most at risk are people who come into prolonged, unprotected contact with infected birds and contaminated environments, like poultry owners. State veterinarian Martin Zalewski with the Montana Department of Livestock says while the virus currently poses a minimal threat to humans, it has the potential to mutate, and people should try to limit exposure.
It is not a human health concern at this point, but we don't want to create an environment where that reassortment and that dangerous recombination could take place.
Zalewski says dogs and cats are also unlikely hosts. He says pets could get the virus from consuming an infected bird, but walking through parks or other casual exposure poses a low risk. He says while bird flu in people shares symptoms with the human flu, symptoms in a dog or cat could present as neurological issues like tremors. Zalewski says owners should bring their animals to the vet if they see signs of illness and take precautions, like using gloves to discard waste. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
A bill to expand existing protections for hunting, fishing, and trapping in Montana's Constitution is unlikely to get the supermajority needed from lawmakers to appear on the ballot. Current constitutional language says the state shall give preference to these activities. If passed, the amendment would establish them as a citizen's right. Proponents of the bill say this would help preserve Montanans' way of life. Opponents have voiced concerns the bill could infringe on private property protections. House Bill 372, called the Right to Hunt Bill, passed out of the Senate Thursday. It will need 73 votes in the House to advance. Similar proposals have been introduced and failed in past legislative sessions. People in the Billings area are invited to celebrate Native American culture at the MSU Billings powwow this weekend. Mary Ann Higgs is head woman dancer for the 53rd annual powwow. She will lead the grand entries and serve as ambassador for the event.
I want to welcome everybody and make sure that everyone has a chance to come and take a look at the powwow. It's a really fun and cool environment, and it's really pretty. I love all the beadwork by all the women and the men.
Hugs says the public will hear great music and see a variety of Native dances.
It's a celebration to come together for all Native Americans and others. We just come to celebrate our culture as Native American people.
The grand entry is tonight at 6, and there are two on Saturday at noon and 6. The powwow is at Alterowitz Gym on the Montana State University Billings campus. You can visit MSUB's website for a complete schedule. A Montana State representative is blocked from speaking on the House floor after she condemned Republicans for advancing anti-LGBTQ legislation. Montana Public Radio's Shaylee Rager reports.
Tense debate over Republican bills targeting the state's LGBTQ community came to a head this week when Representative Zoe Zephyr, a Missoula Democrat, spoke in opposition to a ban on gender-affirming care for transgender minors on the House floor. Zephyr, one of Montana's first transgender lawmakers, said supporters should be ashamed if they pass the bill.
If you vote yes on this bill, and yes, on these amendments, I hope the next time there's an invocation, when you bow your heads in prayer, you see the blood on your hands.
Immediately after her comments, House Majority Leader Sue Vinton and the Republican caucus stood in protest.
I will note that that is entirely inappropriate, disrespectful, and uncalled for. We can debate matters civilly and with respect for each other.
It's not uncommon for lawmakers from either party to object to language used during debate. Democrats have protested when Republicans described gender-affirming health care as mutilation or when abortion was equated to Satanism. After Zephyr's comment, 21 hardline conservative members of the Montana GOP, known as the Freedom Caucus, called for Zephyr to be formally censured. In their press release, they misgendered Zephyr. Republican leaders didn't call for a vote to censure the representative. Instead, Speaker of the House Matt Regeer of Kalispell declined to recognize Zephyr during floor debate, meaning she wasn't allowed to argue for or against bills. That decision came 2 days after Zephyr's initial comments.
There has been problems in the past, and I don't feel like in the future, until that trust is restored, it'll be tough to recognize.
Regeer says Zephyr crossed the line when she shamed lawmakers. He said she's been asked to apologize and that she likely won't be recognized unless she does.
I mean, the shame on you, turning around and saying shame on you for somebody's vote, degrading somebody for how they're going to vote, that's way off the issue. That's making it personal.
It's unclear if Zephyr will be allowed to speak on the floor again for the remainder of the session. The move to silence Zephyr on the House floor resulted in a rules debate as Democrats fought against the Speaker's decision and his interpretation of the House's rules. Most of the Republican supermajority voted to uphold the block on her testimony, both in the Rules Committee and on the House floor. The Montana American Indian Caucus, including one Republican, released a statement saying they stand in solidarity with Zephyr as people who have long experienced discrimination. Representative Sharon Stewart Paragoy, a Democrat from Crow Agency and an enrolled member of the Crow Tribe, said she believes the debate goes beyond rules of decorum and is on a slippery slope to fascism.
It's not something that my way or the highway. It's about everybody having equal access to this floor to be able to discuss and to be able to represent their community. And I believe that where we're at is we are being discriminatory.
Missoula County Democrats also released a statement condemning the move, saying they are not only silencing the voice of Representative Zephyr, but also the voices of roughly 11,000 Montanans in House District 100. Zephyr stands by her comments on the floor and says she was describing accurately the harm the policy will bring to her community.
I have lost friends to suicide this year. I field calls from multiple families who have dealt with suicide attempts, with trans youth who have fled the state, people who have been attacked on the sides of the road because of legislation like this.
When Zephyr was blocked from speaking, she was attempting to oppose a bill that would define sex as binary in law, eliminating the legal recognition of trans, non-binary, and intersex people in Montana. In Helena, I'm Shaylee Rager.
That is The Worm for this Friday. You can visit ypradio.org and Yellowstone Public Radio's Facebook page for more news. Wishing you a safe and fun weekend, I'm Orlinda Worthington.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.